We'll be looking in chapter number 4 of the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles. Great book, the book of Ephesians. I like what it has to say to the child of God. You'll find in chapter number 1 that you were chosen. If you're saved, you're chosen by the Father. Redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Holy Ghost. You were dead, but now you're alive in Christ Jesus. Not only are you alive, but God has placed you in the body of Christ to make a holy habitation out of you for the Spirit of God. And we're builded together, all of us together, in this body of Christ. And He's expecting some things out of us. Amen? Amen. He didn't just save us to do nothing. He saved us. And He's gave each and every one of us a gift. And I hope tonight that you realize that God has empowered you with something that He expects out of you to do. And so in chapter number 4, there was one particular verse that I intended to draw a message from, and I got to studying the whole chapter, and so I really want to just go back over the chapter and hit some highlights in here, try to exhort you and edify and encourage you to work for the Lord, to do some things in your life and not just let time pass you by and have to look back one day on wasted years, wasted opportunities. When God is urging you to do something, you better get busy and get going with it. Amen? And so let's look right here at some things in Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 1 says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking here, he said, beseech you, or I urge you to listen to me now to what I've got to say. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Ain't it good to be called tonight? Amen. You know, I look back at the days when I was a lost man and a lot of the folks that I used to run with and thought that I had to, you know, everything figured out as a lost man, just enjoying a sinful life. And God one day reached His hand into my life, convicted me, and put the fear of God in my life, and He drawed me with cords of love to a place of salvation. And not only did He call me, but there's a vocation that He had specifically for my life. And I hope and pray to God one day when I stand before the Lord that I might hear Him say, well done, thou have been faithful in a few things. I want to be found faithful, amen, in a few things in my life. And listen to me, friend. Listen, there's going to be a time of rewards when we stand before the Lord. And I want to be able to say thank you, Lord, for using me in a few things as I journey through this life to try to make a difference in somebody else's life. Amen. And that's what God expects out of all of us. That's what He's wanting us to do is, as a child of God, is to carry the love of God and let the Holy Ghost shed the love of God through us out into a lost and dying world that people might see the love of Christ in us and want to have what we've got. Amen. So tonight I want to look at these verses in this chapter right here. It's not too long a chapter right here. We'll touch on some of them. Some of them we won't. But I want to preach or teach on this thought tonight, going from talking the talk to walking the walk. It's easy to talk the talk of a Christian life. Amen? Talk the talk. We love to hear people talk the talk and teach us and put things in our ears and in our minds. But James said we ought to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Amen. God wants us to do some things with the life and breath that He's given us and the strength that He's given us in our body while we're able. So first of all, right here, we'll look at these first few verses right here, and I see an exhortation right here to being unified, to have unity in the church house, in the body of Christ. This place right here ought to be a special place to every child of God as we come together. There ought not to be any divisions. There ought not to be any quarrels among us. We ought to come together in love right here in this place, one for another, in unity, so that God might manifest Himself through us and to anybody that lost that might walk into these doors. We all have troubles. We all have trials and different things come upon us, and we need to be loved on. Amen. God expects love out of His children. Amen. Ought not to be no backbiting and quarreling and having an ought against nobody. If we do, we better get it straightened out. He says this right here in this exhortation to unity right here. Now, there's a calling that has made us a child of God. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? There's nobody in here that was good enough. Amen? Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And you ought to be thankful every time, every day that you live and breathe and realize that you're a child of God. You ought to be thankful that God reached His hand of mercy and grace toward you one day and called you from darkness to His marvelous light, raised you from the dead and put the life of the Holy Ghost in you. And there ought to be a thankfulness in our heart that He made us that way with a holy calling. He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Not only the calling that made us, but the character that marks us. Now I want you to notice these next things that He has to say right here. Character, it has a lot to say about a person, doesn't it? People are watching your character. There's a lot of folks that you don't realize have got their eye upon you. If you name the name of Christ, a lost person around you is watching to see what kind of character you exhibit in the life that you profess. Amen. So notice this right here. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Oh my. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Sounds like we ought not to be a real prideful people, don't it? Amen. Sounds like we ought to think more of our brother than we do of ourselves. Amen. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I'm telling you, God is pleased with His people that loves one another I ought to put your feelings before my feelings. I ought to be mature enough in Christ to put your feelings before my own feelings. Amen. I'm talking about a character that marks us. Love. You'll find that God is love. You'll find that God has a lot to say about love. I challenge you to read 1 John chapter 4 when you get home tonight or tomorrow. Well, it's a big chapter on love. You can't hate your brother and love God. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. God says you're a liar. Amen. We ought not to have hate in our heart and animosity in our heart towards anybody. If we do, we need to get it straightened out. Amen. Listen, if God's going to do anything through our life, it'll be when we get lowly and meek, when we're long-suffering, and we forbear one another in love. Then He can use us for His honor and for His glory. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, most of you study your Bible are familiar with that chapter. He says there, if we have not charity or if we have not love, then anything we do for Christ is in vain. We become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, he says. It's ineffective. He said, it doesn't matter how smart you are. You might know this Bible from front to back. You might be a great speaker. You might be a great singer or whatever. But he said, if you don't have love, it's in vain. So I challenge you tonight to check up. How do you stand with Christ when it comes to loving your brothers and your sister, and even lost people? Notice something in Colossians chapter number 3. In verse 12, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, I'm talking about unity in the church house. Unity in the body of Christ. You know, we think a whole lot of our body, don't we? Amen? Now, I ain't going to get a quarrel up with my knee right here. Amen? I want this knee to carry me where I want to go. If it gets to hurting, I try to pet it. I try to take care of it. I'll even take it to the doctor. Hey, the fellow, you know, hurt his knee. He went to the doctor. Amen. And it even do you good to get petted on a little bit when you're hurting. Amen. Pray. But listen to me now. I'm talking about the love that God expects out of His children to be exhibited one toward another in the body of Christ. And he goes on and he says this, "Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfectness." Now, well, I'll get to that later. I'm getting ahead of myself. That was the first message. But I'll tell you in a little while what I'm going to preach on one of these days. But next, I want you to notice this. The character that marks us, but then there's a connection that motivates us. He goes on right here. He says there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We're all connected. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. We've been placed in the body of Christ as it pleased Him, and we should be a loving, functioning body, realizing that we're all connected. I don't want to go to heaven and have to look across over there in heaven and see somebody I had an ought against. Amen? I don't want to have to run from y'all and hide. I want to be able to shout with all of you. Amen. I want to be able to rejoice in heaven with all of you. I don't want to leave this world having an ought against anybody. Even as Christ has forgiven me, He expects me to forgive those who offend me in any way. Hard to do. Hard to do. But listen, Jesus didn't have to forgive us, did He? Amen. He had no reason. We did not merit forgiveness. There was no good in us. But He had mercy and He had grace upon each and every one of us. And He expects us to exhibit as a part of the body of Christ. We got to have grace and forgiveness about us to be a light as we journey through this life. If we can do that, it'll move somebody. It'll move somebody. Amen? You know, as a lost person, I remember looking at just for an example, Brother Monroe Wiggins. He was a preacher down at Sardis Baptist Church when I was a child growing up. You know, I had my eyes on that man. I watched that man. I listened to him. I wanted to see what he had that I didn't have. And you know, he walked the walk and he talked the talk before me. And one day he was preaching a sermon and God called me. And what a blessed day that was in my life. We're all oneness with Christ and one with another. And every time that we get together at the house of God, we ought to come together in one mind and in one accord to glorify, worship our Lord and Savior, to lift Jesus high and holy and lift Him so high that lost sinners would see Him and fear and tremble and want salvation. Come together to worship. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. We take our time at church too lightly. Amen. This is a special time. God give you this day. He give you life and breath and health to be here, and don't waste your time. Amen. Get focused on Him for just a little while here and worship Him. It'll make your life go a little sweeter. Amen. Talking about unity, an exhortation to unity. Paul is saying right here, we need to be unified at the house of God and in the body of Christ. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. A house divided cannot stand. Amen. I tell you, I've seen people get in the house of God and get an ought against somebody, and the first thing you know, instead of making it right, they hit the door. They go back out into the world, and they're in terrible shape right now. Amen. Talking about an exhortation to unity. Secondly, right here, I want you to notice this. In this chapter, going further right here, an expansion of understanding. You hear what I'm saying now? An expansion of understanding. We ought not to be saved 20 years and still be a baby in Christ. Amen? Our daily life, I tell you what you'll do. Some of you probably hadn't eaten supper tonight. You're probably a little bit hungry right now. Amen? You get up in the morning, you'll want something to eat before you go to work. Our spiritual life ought to be that way. We ought to hunger for righteousness and thirst for the Word of God and want to have fellowship through the Holy Ghost out of the Word of God and to grow. God wants us to grow into mature Christians. And Paul has some things to say about this right here. I'm talking about an expansion of understanding. Notice this right here. He mentions right here that when Christ ascended upon high, He led captivity captive and He gave gifts unto men. I appreciate the Lord giving gifts unto certain men. Amen? And women. God has given you a gift, a spiritual gift. I'm not talking about a natural ability. I mean, there's a lot of folks that's smarter than me. Amen? It's just something natural they've got, I reckon. I never was the sharpest pencil in the book. But I realize that when God saved me and the Holy Ghost moved within me, He made a difference in my life. And He gave me gifts that I can use to magnify Christ and to edify the body of Christ and be a blessing at the church of God. And let me tell you, you've got a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but you do have a gift that's been given to you to serve God and to serve Christ, to glorify Him and to serve others. Use your gift. You may not know what it is, but I tell you what, God has given you a gift, the Holy Ghost, not dwelling within you for nothing. God will empower you to work for Him and to glorify Him. And part of that is to bring unity, body of Christ. The gifts He mentions right here, He says in verse 11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And you could go on and on and on. There's some people that are gifted singers. There's some people that has a gift of being a prayer warrior. I mean, there's people that are Holy Ghost filled. There's people that want to maintain that position with the Holy Ghost. And there's people that are given great faith. And there's many different gifts that God has distributed throughout His church. And He expects us to use these gifts. And we need to grow in understanding in what God expects out of our life. He says these gifts are in verse 12 are for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. You realize you've got a ministry? You're not just passing through this life as a child of God to go out and just enjoy the world and the things of this world. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. But God has given each of you, if you're a born again child of God, you've got a ministry. Ministry. And we need to be involved in yielding to the will of God in our life and working for Him. He says, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. In other words, He's saying right here, We need to share the gifts that God has given us, that we might edify and build up the body of Christ and the church of God. And he says, unto a perfect man, or unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We ought not to ever be satisfied. We ought to be continually growing, trying to be more Christ-like in our life every day. Expansion of understanding. Gifts. Growth. But there's some things we're going to have to guard against. You see, we live in a real world here. In an imperfect world. And he goes on right here. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Can I tell you there's a lot of false doctrine that's being taught and preached in this world today? There's a lot of deceivers out there in this world today, leading many thousands of people to a place called hell. Millions of people are being led astray by deceivers, false doctrine. And he also says this, that we've got to guard against these things. But also, moving down a little further right here, we've got to guard against the old man, the darkness. He says right here, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's the old man. But can I tell you something? As a child of God, the old man's going to still rear his head up. Because we live in a body of flesh right here. And this old flesh right here is prone to sin. And you're going to have to guard against the darkness of this world. Amen. And you're going to have to purpose in your heart that you're going to put off the old man right here. And you're going to put on the new man who is made after the likeness of Christ. You're going to have to crucify the old man and the lust that this old body of flesh right here loves. Amen. And if you don't, if you feed the old man the junk of this world, you're going to be going backwards instead of forward. You're going to be heading into some trouble. Amen. Anybody ever started backing up and run into something? Amen. I started to leave down to the lake one time. Just went flying backwards and bam, right into a pine tree. You get to going backwards, you're going to run into some trouble. Amen. Well, listen to me now. The expansion of understanding. And he goes on in this chapter right here. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In verse 27, he says, neither give place to the devil. I want to tell you something. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean the devil can't come in and destroy your life. Amen. You're going to have to stay focused on the things of God. There's nothing better that the devil likes to do than to take a child of God who's once lived a life of faith and testified that he's a child of God. If the devil can find a place in that life, destroy that testimony, destroy that home, that marriage, it affects the children, it affects everybody around. He's a deceiver. He loves to steal, kill, and destroy. You better heed that verse right there. Paul said, neither give place to the devil. When you're faced with temptations and things right here that God's not pleased with, you better recognize where it's coming from. Because you're heading for destruction. You're heading for something that's going to really, really disappoint and mess up your life. I've seen a lot of Christians. Amen. I've seen a lot of Christian people turn their back on God and let the devil lead them out into darkness. Destroyed their testimony. Let me tell you something. You can live a Christian life for 30, 40 years and be well thought of in the community and people around you, and you can slip up one time, and you can destroy it all. Destroy it all. You better watch the devil. He likes a big trophy. He loves to destroy the people of God. Exhortation to unity. and expansion of understanding. And lastly, this right here, the elimination of unkindness. I'm talking about unity now in the church house. I'm talking about talking the talk and walking the walk. Unkindness. God don't like unkindness. He don't like it down at His house. He don't like it down at your house. Amen? Let me say something about unkindness. There's people that come to the house of God that's hurting. They need some kindness. Amen. You don't know what's been going on in my life. And I don't know what's been going on in your life. But I need to show you kindness because God expects it out of me. And if the love of God is truly indwelling me and I'm in the will of God, I'm going to show you kindness. Amen. And we all have troubles. Amen. All have troubles. And we need to eliminate unkindness in our life. Amen. Hey, not only just at the church house, how about down at our house? Amen. It's one thing to be kind and real sweet at the house of God and then go home and have a big knockdown drag out. Amen. Amen. We ought to be kind down at our house. Especially if you've got kids in your house. Amen. Your home ought to be a heaven for your kids. This world out here is a mess. Hey, listen, there's hatred, there's killing, there's all kind of things. When kids come home to mama and daddy, there ought to be a place of kindness. They don't need to see fussing and fighting going on. They want to see a mama that loves daddy and a daddy that loves mama. And both of them that love them. We need that. Too many kids missing that. Amen. Now we get all stressed out during the day. We take so much on us of this world, and you get in a bad mood and you get stressed out and you come home and you're like a mad dog. Amen. That's the way folks get. God ain't in that junk. If you're stressed out and you're ill and you need to get before you get home, you need to sort of get straightened out. Do your best to. Amen. Purpose in your heart. You're going to be kind. Amen. Yeah, I don't know about that. That's some weak amens right there now. Amen. Hey, somebody goes to growling and biting at you, go to petting them. Amen. Ain't y'all ever walked up to an old dog that's growling at you and you kind of got friendly with him, went petting him a little bit, and he'd start wagging his tail? Amen. That works for husband and wife too. Amen. The elimination of unkindness, that's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Right the opposite is, though. Amen. Can I say this about unkindness? It comes from the heart. Amen. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you get your heart right, then what comes out of your mouth will be right. Amen. He said in chapter 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and country songs. No, he don't say that. He says spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You put junk in your head. You put junk in your ears. And it settles down in your heart. And it's going to flow out your mouth. Amen. Music has a big influence on you, whether you realize it or not. You know what I could do? Brother Ken, I could go, I could turn a radio on or some music on to them old honky-tonk songs that I used to listen to sitting at a bar. And if I didn't have God, if I just turned my life back to that kind of junk right there, it wouldn't be long. I'd be a drunk again. Amen. Wouldn't be long because my home would be busted up. Amen. It makes a difference what you put in. You better heed the warning too. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Lord don't want to hear achy, breaky heart. Amen. But He'll honor amazing grace. Amen. It comes from the heart. But here's something right here. It's communicated to the hearers. He says right here in verse 29, chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, you put junk in your heart. This thing right, you can't control this thing. Amen. James said it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But what you can do, if you put the right things in your head and in your heart, then the right things is more than likely going to come out your mouth. You put more of the Word of God in your mind and in your heart, and it'll help the right things come out of your mouth. It'll help your life. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen? It's communicated to the hearers. In different places in this chapter right here, he tells us to put away lying, put away evil, put away filthy and foolish talking in chapter number 5 right there. The Bible has a lot to say about your mouth and my mouth. Amen. We have to watch our mouth. Amen. But then, in this elimination of unkindness, it comes from the heart. It's communicated to the hearers. But there's some consequences that's harvested. And I'm fixing to close. He says, and grieve, in verse 30, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You ever grieve the Holy Ghost? I have. I've grieved Him. And you know, when He's grieved, I'm grieved. Amen. And I thank God that I thank God He thinks that much of me to grieve me and show me I'm wrong. Amen. And it ought to trouble us when God, who loved us enough to die for us and put the Holy Ghost in us, to lead us and guide us in all truth. Then we do wrong and we grieve Him. It ought to break our heart, because it breaks God's heart. Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Guard your heart with all diligence, what Proverbs tells us. Because what's in the heart is going to come out your mouth. That's where a lot of unkindness comes from. Got a selfish heart? You ain't going to think much of others if you're a selfish person. Be kind one to another. It helps unity in the church house. Love one another. Now, you know, I said I was going to tell you what this next I may use this next message next time I teach or preach. What led me to this chapter right here? Me and Sheila was in a store up in North Carolina. Saw a sign on the wall. It said, "Be kind or be quiet." Now I thought, man, that's a good title for a message. Be kind or be quiet. Amen. Try it sometime. You put wood on the fire, and it's gonna flame up on you. If you'll just be quiet. Amen. Somebody, let me tell you something. When your husband, your wife snaps your head off, be quiet. You go to snapping back, and they're going to snap back. First thing you know, y'all in a big row. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us.